Welcome to the Flow Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording. It's 1:23 p.m. that is Pacific Standard Time. Today is February 18th. I thought we'd kick off today with Japan. It was down about 300 points, coming back down to the lower side of this range that's been persisting now for about the last 3 months. But this is still above the trend mean and below the peak of the upper side of this two-year range. So it could still be a consolidation, and I think that is perhaps the most likely scenario, that it is a consolidation prior to a breakout, and that the entire range over the last 2 years has been nothing more than a medium-term range or consolidation. And in fact, it's quite similar in terms of amplitude and duration to the range that was put in between 2015 and 17. So it's not beyond the bounds of possibility that we could be ranging for a while longer, but as long as it is holding the 20,000 level, we can continue to give the benefit of the doubt to the upside. Well, there are a couple of reasons why Japan was weak today. The first is that Japan is dealing with the coronavirus, and that it has the most cases outside of China because of the cruise ship where there are in excess of 300 people infected. There has also been some spread of the virus on the mainland, so that is obviously something that is concerning people. Then you have the fact that they raised the VAT rate at probably exactly the wrong time, and that is having the exact same effect on confidence as it did the last time they tried this, which was a few years ago. But the other point, of course, is that there's a lot of concern out there, particularly with regard to Apple's earnings, which came out after the close last night on Wall Street, and therefore affected Asian trading more than US trading. What's particularly interesting is that while Japan was in negative territory, and the Hang Seng in Hong Kong was also in negative territory, these were not exactly the most dynamic moves in the world, and we haven't seen, or I should say, we have seen substantially larger moves in these indices just in the course of the last few months. So we have a short-term overbought condition. I think what we're getting is some consolidation. Now, of course, the big question is, with regard to China, how much follow-through are we going to get on the upside? The stock market has now completely unwound the decline from immediately after the New Year holiday, and investors are rapidly pricing in the potential for really rather extreme stimulus measures. That's already underway in terms of the relaxing of lending standards, both in terms of the banks, of the shadow banks, of credit creation, and stock lending programs. So they really have thrown the book at or perhaps the best way to think about it is, China has been laboring to contain speculative activity in the financial sector for the last 3 years, and they have put in a raft of different regulations to try and contain that speculative urge. Over the course of the last 2 weeks, they've removed just about all of them. So even without a massive stimulus being promoted by the central government, the restrictions that have been put on credit creation in the banks, in the regional banks, in the shadow banks, that's all been removed. So that's the reason why the stock market is now surging higher. The big question that a lot of people are going to ask, and it's still open for debate, which is of course why we have a market, is whether the coronavirus can be contained in China, or whether it is in fact going to become a pandemic. And there's still a market in that, because we're still getting new cases. What we are seeing, though, in Hubei is that the number of new cases is decreasing daily. The total is still rising, the number of dead is still rising, and it is a highly infectious disease, so that is also something that needs to be, I think, considered. But the more important point is that the trajectory of new infections is moderating, and that tells us we're a lot closer to the peak than I think a lot of the more bearish investors are willing to countenance. But I think the other important point is when we actually look at Apple's price chart, it did pull back. It unwound some of the decline, but relative to the size of the pullback we saw at the end of January, this wasn't really very much at all. What it suggests is that investors are still willing to give the benefit of the doubt to the upside, despite the fact that we have had more volatility creeping in here, and Apple is trading at a very wide overextension relative to the trend mean. And it is worth considering that on previous occasions, when it has traded at such a wide overextension relative to the trend mean, it has pulled back. And on each of the prior pullbacks and major reactions towards the trend mean, it has found support in the region of the upper side of underlying trading ranges, which would suggest that in order for Apple to remain consistent, in the event that it does pull back, it should find support somewhere around $240. Of course, that is an $80 pullback from where it is right now, which is rather substantial. But unfortunately, from the perspective of anyone who's long and leveraged, that is something that investors have become rather accustomed to when buying Apple over the course of the last few years. But it's also worth considering that Microsoft has also been in an accelerating trend, and it was in positive territory today. The size of the reaction we've seen so far is not only modest, but it's almost identical to the most recent one. And this is, without the shadow of a doubt, an accelerating trend. And the pace of the advance is still intact. And as long as that remains the case, we can continue to give the benefit of the doubt to the upside in the full knowledge that acceleration is a trend ending. And I think that is the most important point here. The reliance of these momentum strategies on the provision of liquidity is by far the most central theme. And from that perspective, the coronavirus adds fuel to the liquidity because of the necessary reaction of central banks and governments to try and contain it and then to subsequently try and support economic growth. Then we're likely to see monetary and fiscal stimulus coming through all over, not just in China, but in every country that is relying on China for business. So, for example, the Indonesian economy is heavily exposed to China in terms of its exports. The stock market has been trending downwards, although in a relatively mild manner, for more than a year. They're due to cut interest rates probably this week. And that, of course, is going to put pressure on the currency, which has been rather firm over the course of the last 18 months. When we then think about the renminbi, well, it is holding around the 7 level, but it is hard to imagine that we're going to see substantial strengthening when China really does have to try and support its economy. The hit to consumer confidence in Asia is, I think, rather significant. Now the big question is, how much stimulus are they going to get? But the much bigger question is against the background of the US consumer, because it's the US consumer has been supporting the stock market. It's certainly been supporting companies like Walmart, which reported earnings in here today. And it was in positive territory and continues to bounce from the region of the trend mean. Well, Walmart is a major importer from China. The fact that it did not alter guidance in here today, well, that is a vote of confidence that they are not going to have an interrupted inventory or that they have enough inventory on hand. That's, I think, one of the more important points. It at least helps to ameliorate the bearish arguments that we're continuing to see. If we are going to continue to see the coronavirus make headlines, then it's more important to monitor the stock market and the consistency of the moves that we have. And there is a continued reliance on the potential for additional stimulus. One thing that is increasingly relevant, however, is that the yield curve spread is contracting again. It's down to less than 15 basis points now. And I really do think that this is very similar to the condition that we had in 1998. We had a very mild inversion to begin with, and subsequently it popped back on the upside and ranged for much of the next year. It was really only in the beginning of the year 2000 that it became sharply inverted, all the way down to an inverted 50 basis points, and then subsequently was ramping higher. Well, we're nowhere near that just yet. But if we do continue to see this, the contraction going on, then it is, I think, quite confirming that we are late in the cycle. There are a number of, I think, important characteristics right now that are worthy of consideration. The first is that we have a bearish divergence in the RSI. I don't really look at the oscillators all that often, but when you have a sequence of lower highs on the oscillator and higher highs on the stock market, then that generally tells us that there is a loss of momentum going on, despite the fact that the market is pushing on to new high ground. Then I thought this was an interesting chart in here today. I don't know why that is. There we go. This is the University of Michigan, and it's, I'm going to give you the, I'll get the, it's a long title, so I'm, rather than try and remember it, I'll just pull it up. It's the University of Michigan Mean Probability of Increase in Stock Market Prices Over the Next Year. And I think the most important point is that when this index trades above 60%, then we know we're in rarefied territory. It traded at 66% right at the beginning of 2018, and we know what happened in terms of the almost 10% pullback we had right at the beginning of 2018. We also had a significant peak back in 2015, and there was another peak around, there were a number of peaks, in fact, between 2004 and 2007. So this is not the kind of indicator that one can completely rely on as a timing indicator, but it does tell us that there is a lot of enthusiasm in the market right now. And we also know that there's plenty of things to worry about, but people aren't worrying about them. There was a clear incentive for the bears to try and short the market when the coronavirus news eventually broke, and they were stopped out and the market pushed on to new high ground. Now the big question is this breakout going to be sustained? When we look at the S&P 500, it has bounced from the lower side of its range in here today, and so far it is sustaining the breakout. And as long as it is sustaining the breakout, we can continue to give the benefit of the doubt to the upside. But what we are now starting to see is that some interest is returning to the precious metals sector. So we're not just getting some compression in the yield curve, but the kinds of assets that either benefit when there is a rampant effort to devalue fiat currencies, or that represent classic hedges, are starting to attract interest. Gold sustaining a move now, or closing above $1,600, is a meaningful development, and it does suggest that there is the potential now that we are on the cusp of the next leg higher in this medium-term bull market. It was led higher in here today by palladium, which was up approximately 10%. And is in fact closing above the psychological 2500 level. But this is an incredibly emphatic breakout. And I think the hallmark of the advance so far has been the consistency in the size of the reactions, which were all in the region of about $200, although the most recent was somewhat larger, at least on an intraday basis, perhaps pretty similar in terms of the closing values. It was more volatile, but this is an incredibly impressive breakout. So we have one of the primary consistencies is that we had the size of the reactions being similar. The next consistency is that each one of the breakouts has been sustained and improved upon. Here, where people are concerned about a lack of availability, this acceleration is not the kind of thing that is going to persist indefinitely. So we do need to monitor this trend. What we are starting to now see is that platinum is firming once more, and it does look increasingly likely that this is just a consolidation in the region of the psychological $1,000 area. I think it's more than likely that we are going to see a substantial move on the upside by platinum. And then we have silver. And silver prices have also firmed in here today in a dynamic manner, up 43 cents. And this, I think, provided the move today is sustained, is the likely end of this consolidation phase that's been going on now for about 6 months. Silver has not yet completed its base formation. This does look, though, like a consolidation in the region of the upper side of that base formation. A sustained move back above $20 would confirm that we're back in a demand-dominated environment. Then, when we think about the gold shares, the vast majority of the established gold miners can or have an all-in sustaining price below $1,000. Gold is trading at $1,600. A 60% margin on your business is better than the vast majority of software companies. And the challenge they're going to have is producing enough. But the gold miners ETF has been ranging below 30 since 2013, so a 7-year base formation. Again, this looks like nothing more than a consolidation in the region of the upper side of that base formation, and it is more than likely that we're going to see a breakout, and that breakout will then subsequently, I think, reignite interest in the gold mining sector. So we are definitely seeing some hedging activity going on. Investors are increasingly convinced that the reaction to the coronavirus is going to be that central banks start buying bonds again, that governments are going to have to increase their deficits, which is raising the very clear potential for modern monetary theory to be put into practice in a very real way. That is putting downward pressure on government bond yields. And the 10-year Treasury is still hovering here around the 1.5% level. We're going to have to see a very clear upward dynamic, and I think really a sustained move above the trend mean in order to question that this isn't still a bullish environment for bonds. In the event that at some point over the next couple of weeks, the number of cases in North America or Europe starts to trend higher for the coronavirus, then that is obviously then going to contribute to profit taking. And we know that we have short-term overbought conditions. We have accelerated conditions in a significant number of the mega cap shares. There is no evidence just yet that they have entered their period of mean reversion, but it's going to be as plain as day when that does occur. The other point is that when we look at Wall Street, the Russell 2000 index is still trading below the peak put in 2018. This does look like a consolidation, but it definitely has to hold the 1600 point level. The transportation index has not yet broken on the upside either. It's been ranging now for more than 2 years. The S&P 500 banks index had been benefiting, but it is now consolidating. It's consolidating right in the region of the peak from back in 2018. All of these indices look like consolidations. But when we look at the NYSE FANG index, which includes both the mega cap US and Chinese shares, then it is clearly extending the breakout from its own 18-month range, and it was in additional positive territory in here today. Tesla had pulled back quite sharply, but it was in positive territory again today, and this was a really quite impressive move over just the last few sessions. The pullback we've seen to date is really quite mild relative to the kind of volatility the share is capable of, and now the big question is whether we've seen the low, and is it going to be able to sustain a move back above the $950 area? This is obviously one of the more high momentum shares. So there is the clear conclusion here that with contracting government bond yields and the fact that the S&P 500 is still trading with a yield of 1.8%, that the momentum is very much in favor of stocks over bonds. That's the very clear rationale that we have. But there are risks out there. This is a time to, I think, be particularly vigilant for just purely because we have so many trends that are so very overextended relative to the trend mean. Meanwhile, gold does look like it is on the cusp of breaking on the upside and renewing its medium-term recovery. There is the very clear potential that when we think about the latter stages of major bull markets, it is more than normal to see a significant move in cyclicals. Well, the vast majority of the industrial resources are so heavily influenced by China. Gold and gold miners in particular are also cyclical, and they have the potential to rally spectacularly, particularly from what are still quite depressed levels. And I think with that, I'll leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.